Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
You have these groups of people who knew about Jesus, and you had these groups of people who knew certain things about Jesus, and certain things about Jesus they either did not know or did not believe. Are you following me? Now, there are people who there are people in the world who know about Jesus, but don't believe he was God's son. Yeah, that's right. They don't believe he was God's son. So they're not saved. You can't be saved not believing Jesus is not son, God's son. And so here, Jairus, he did believe. And so here, now, at this point, people were not saved. They were not born again. But he believed. So Jesus was alive. Amen. Now here, we're in the New Testament church, which began at, praise God, after Pentecost, praise God, New Testament church, so you can be born again. Jesus said, marvel not, you must be born again. However, the new birth was not available until Jesus had died, buried, and raised from the dead, according to the scripture. But in any case, Jairus, he knew who Jesus was. The prophecy had promised, amen, that the Messiah was coming, that God was sending his son. And so the Old Testament saints knew that Jesus was coming. As a matter of fact, what they did was they died in the faith. The people that died before he came, they died in the faith, believing that he was going to come because man needed a redeemer. He needed a redeemer. Now, so here when you look in the Old Testament, you look in the law, but prior to the law being given, we have the story of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis, etc. But it's like when you look at Abraham, because we are the children of Abraham by faith, amen? This is where the subject of faith, and then when you look at the law, then you get back with Jesus coming, they're still under the law, and then Jesus died, and now we're living by faith. Are you following me? I'm going to say that over. You have the aspect in the Bible of faith, where you have Abraham and Sarah, amen? Abraham was the father of faith. Okay, now, the law had not been given yet. The law had not been given yet. And so here, God had a covenant, glory to God, made a covenant with Abraham and got Abraham to give his son. Because, you know, Abraham and Sarah, amen, praise God, they didn't have any children. So then they had Hagar, at least Abraham did. And so he was not the child of promise. But so God gave Abraham a son, Abraham and Sarah, and that was what he wanted. So you're looking at the working of faith. You're looking at the working of faith through Abraham, but you're looking at the working of God when God asks you for something and when God gives you something, when God manifests something you prayed for. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so when God wants something done. One, as a man or woman of God, you have a covenant with God. So your life is a plan now. You engage with God for God to bring about what he wants and what you want. He said he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's not something you thought of. The promises that Abraham asked God about, I'm going to go back to Mark, that was not something that Abraham asked for. In other words, Abraham wanted children, and he said, what will you give me seeing I go childless? Now, he had a lot of other things, and so that was Abraham wanted more children. Well, God wanted children. God wanted to populate the earth. He wanted to redeem man. He's got to get Jesus into the earth, so he has to do it by spiritual law. Now, am I away from healing? Well, no, I'm with faith. Amen. I'm with faith. So when God did it, when he sent Jesus, He sent Jesus, when you look at the word, to redeem man, he sent a redeemer. In other words, the thing, Lord have mercy, that when Abraham asked for what he wanted, what God wanted, hallelujah, was so much bigger than what Abraham wanted. God was able to bring about what Abraham wanted over and above and bring about what he wanted. All right, see now, on the backs of this promise that God made to Abraham was the redemption of all mankind. See, in other words, Abraham asked for a child. Abraham said, what would you give me seeing I go childless? And he got Isaac. But so when God asked him for Isaac, he asked him to give him Isaac. When he asked him to give him Isaac, and he offered him on the altar, God had positioned himself now to give us Jesus. But giving us Jesus, in that package of Jesus was healing, deliverance, guidance, power, eternity, all of that. Isaac didn't have all that in him. He was a miracle baby, but he didn't have all of that. Jesus showed up, amen, and he's the Redeemer. But he came in the form of a man, a child, just like God, just like Abraham. Abraham asked God for, what would you give me seeing I go childless? He said, oh, I'm glad you asked. And so, of course, God got all of us with Isaac. We'll multiply. We're of the faith of Abraham. We're children of God by faith. We're in faith. We're the faith family. Faith in God. This is the faith of Abraham. You want to know how faith looks? You want to know? Look at Abraham. Look at Abraham's life. Now, but let's go further over here in the New Testament because, I mean, well, we're in the Gospels, actually. What happens is when Jesus is approached, this promise of Isaac and then Jesus in the embodiment. Say embodiment. I like that word. The embodiment of Jesus, Lord have mercy, when he came, and the people, if you notice, when the people met Jesus, and you in your reading of Jesus, amen. And I like this. I like when you get to keep you conscious of these aspects of the life of Jesus. Amen. Like, you know, he's our Lord and our Savior. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. There are things revealed, but you are God's child. Lord, I said, you are God's very own child. And so God revealed himself to us. So with Jesus, the embodiment of Jesus is all of the redemption privilege. See, redemption, Jesus is called the Redeemer. He redeemed man from all the curse of the law. Now, let me go back. Well, I'm not really going back. But when you look at the Old Testament, man was under the curse of the law. Adam had fallen. In the process of God dealing with Abraham, amen, having Isaac, him and Sarah, and them dying and all of that, man was under a curse in the Old Testament. He couldn't go to heaven. He wasn't born again because Adam and Eve had sinned and fell and sinned in the garden and got kicked out the garden, etc. And so, in any case, but let's go to healing. See, this is about healing. And I think a lot of people, in order to look at the subject of healing, you got to stay on healing for a minute. You have to tie healing in with all the stuff you already know, the stuff you already believe. Let's tie healing in with it because it's in there. It's a part of, when you hear that healing was a part of the atonement, that's what that means. That means you got healing. Healing and divine health, prosperity, God, it came with all the rest of the stuff, the embodiment of Jesus, the Son of the living God. You're no more to be sick, amen, as a right standing than it is for Adam and Eve to be sick. There's no document of them ever being sick. Are you following me? Now, when you look at it, the way, you know, everything about Adam and Eve was supernatural and miraculous. Everything about Adam and Eve was supernatural and miraculous. I was having this thought one day. It was about people when people die. How do you know them? How will we know each other? Well, see, your body is a container. Your body is a container, and it's filled. You have to look at God, how God made man. He made man in his likeness and his image. God talk about the hand of God. Well, see, so when you look at yourself, that's really not you. That's a container that's holding you. And it's shaped just like that. You 6'5", it's 6'5" of you. And you are filling that container, but you're a spirit. And so what occurs is the container is made from dirt, from the dust of the earth. He made man, shaped the container, and then breathed and put himself in it, the breath of life. So what makes you you, the God you, amen, it fits into that container. You fit into that container, and you can be identified by what fits in that container. You're not 6'5" now, you won't be 6'5" in heaven. But let me go further. So you'll be able to be identified. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then these are just some questions you have. I'll come back to that. But the word says over in Mark 5, it says, "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying," verse 23, "My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Okay, evidently, Jairus knew the healing was the will of God. Healing was the will of God. He asked Jesus, come lay your hands on her, and she'll be healed. Now, what happens is, when we talk about the faith process of divine healing, now, the process takes place. There was something Jairus believed. How did he believe it? How did he come to that point of believing it? Then there was a point where what he believed, he released it. He released it where it had to be released. See, in other words, your faith, what you believe and what you speak, will create your action. You'll be doing what you believe that you speak. And what he did was, when he approached Jesus, he said, "He cometh, and there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name." That means he came from wherever he was to where he was right now to talk to Jesus. He left from somewhere and came. He said, "There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue." This is who he was. And then the word says, "He fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death." He's telling Jesus his daughter lieth at the point of death. Okay, but that's not the end of the... He said that, he wasn't through speaking. "I pray thee, come and lay hands on her. Come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." That should be underlined in your Bible. The conclusion of your faith, what you believe, must be spoken. It must be spoken. Okay, the circumstances was that she was sick almost unto death. She was sick and about to die. In other words, she real sick. Those are the facts. Those are the facts. She's sick. She's at home. And she's real sick at the point of death. Those are the facts. But he's not through speaking. "You gave me the facts. Where is the faith?" I said, "You've given me the facts. Where is the faith?" There were a lot of people home sick about to die. But that's not what all he said. Are you following me? He came and asked Jesus to come and lay hands on her. All right. Now, when he said this, somebody say, "Unpack it." Okay. So what we're doing, we're unpacking it. This is what people mean when they say, "Unpack it." I mean, it's all right there together in the scripture, but let's unpack it. All right. And the first part of the package was he gave Jesus the facts. He gave Jesus the facts. The Bible gives us the facts. This is Jairus. He's not saved, but he a religious man. He know about Jesus. He obviously know who Jesus is. He's left where he was. He's come where Jesus was. He's acting by faith. He's acting by faith. Now he's got to speak by faith. Are you following me? So then he says, he besought him greatly. He underlined that, he besought him greatly. Amen. He didn't just go to one church service or listen to one CD. No. He was digging. He like, I gotta get to this guy. Then he said, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. That's what it says, isn't it? She lieth at the point of death. Underline that. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed. Now, I wonder, how did he know she was at the point of death? I guess the doctor was there or whatever at the house. And he said, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed. And she said, she shall live. Okay, now, sometimes healing is progressive. It'll start when you pray. It'll start, but it might take a week to fully manifest. But when the word says that they shall recover, many times the recovery process might take 3 months. But you give the person, divine health is returning. It's returning on a day by day basis. That's why you gotta hold on. When you pray and you believe God for something, when you start speaking in faith, which you should from the beginning, you gotta stay with it. Keep saying the same thing. Are you following me? Because you created a change in the spirit realm. Amen. That it's going to manifest fully. It's going to fully manifest. All right, now. So with Jairus, he said, and Jesus, then the word said, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Of course, if she's healed, she's going to live. Then and Jesus went with him. Okay, now follow me in verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Okay, now, why were all these other people going? Where were they going? Why were they going? Okay, number one, here's Jesus going with this religious guy. And do you think any of them knew his daughter was sick? They probably did. They probably heard him ask Jesus what he asked him. People, Jesus just kind of out there in the open. This wasn't like a private meeting in the back room. Hey, listen, Jesus, you get a minute. Could you swing by my house after you get through preaching today and pray for me? No, it wasn't that kind of a meeting. It was one of those, people heard him, they saw him, they knew who he was. Amen. He's a ruler in the synagogue. He's like a pastor. The people know what the pastor doing here. Wonder what he going to ask Jesus. Wonder what he's saying to Jesus right now. They know who Jesus is. They know what Jesus has been doing. So, but then, the people, they know the pastor's business. So they know his daughter's sick. She's been sick now about a month. Amen. All right, so anyway, let me go on. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Say much people. Now, I wonder how many people that was. Praise God. What is the time to get when you get in the Word of God? So anyway, and so Jesus went with him. Much people followed him. And then it goes down where after the woman with the issue of blood go over, she came. And verse 35, look at verse 35. It says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troubleth thou in it, troubleth the master in it further? And you see that in your Bible. Why is that way over there? Why is that way over there? It skipped, and then you have the one with the issue of blood in between where Jesus on his way to go to Jairus' house, and then here he's back walking with Jairus. It said, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler's synagogue's house a certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troubleth the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Be not what? Be not what? Be not afraid. People have fear. People have a fear of tragedy, of things going wrong or dying. There's a natural fear of this. Well, I was afraid. As a matter of fact, many people start off their statement, I was afraid. I was afraid. They opened the statement, I was afraid. And they lived their life like, I was afraid. So are you scared of everything? Amen. No, that's just, it's popular. It's a popular phrase. Then as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You see how these two don't go together. They don't go together. Scared and believing, they don't go together. Fear and faith don't work good together. It's right there in your Bible, isn't it? Be not afraid. only believe. So if you've been filled up with being afraid, you got to do something with that. So when you hear bad news, and this is a big thing for people, it's a major growth area for believers, is when you have bad news, don't jump to conclusions. Hold your peace. Don't be backed up on the information, but God. The doctor give you a bad report. That's just information. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid of what he's saying. Hold your ground. And so then when you get the word and you get full of faith, what you do, you protect where your blessing, your power come from. It's in your faith in God. But fear will shut it off. So the enemy, he wants to send you the information in advance. He wants you to be afraid before you get to the doctor's office. Well, you know, the doctor called, but they couldn't get you. We need you to hurry down. Man, why y'all want to call with that kind of call? Be not afraid. And you get there and they say, oh, yeah, did you get our call? We called you to hurry. What we wanted to call was the insurance company was, they just didn't give us the right information on your insurance card. You mean y'all called my house with that? Y'all called with emergency call just to tell me about the insurance. Come on, y'all. The devil, the devil. Don't call me no more about no insurance card. Well, we just want to be sure you had it when you got here. And then you got here a little early so we could do the paperwork. Y'all called me. We left that kind of message over an insurance card. Yeah. Was that bad? Then so you said, don't do it no more. You the one got in fear. They didn't tell you to get in fear. You did it. Because you already were thinking certain things already. Let me go on. See, now this is everyday life of a believer, of a victorious believer. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid of nothing. Amen. This we saw, we couldn't approve your package. Y'all go back and look at it again. Call me tomorrow. Y'all probably missed something. Amen. Amen. You've been approved. Let me go. The word says, and he suffered no man to follow him. He said, be not afraid, only believe or keep believing. Only believe or keep believing. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he opened and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that went wept and wept. In other words, a bunch of people at the house crying. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talathakuma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Can you say amen? Amen. Be not afraid. So unpack it. So you must, in the scripture, you must unpack, praise God, this aspect of healing. Now, what happened was he got Jesus to the house. Am I right? How did he get Jesus to the house? By faith. He gave Jesus the facts. He gave Jesus the facts, but he confessed his faith. Jesus went based on his faith, not the facts. The facts don't matter. When you have faith in God, God can change the facts. Facts can change. And so when he got there, they said, she already dead. It's too late. I don't know what took y'all so long, but she's already dead. Jesus looked at him and told him, don't be afraid. Keep believing. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Keep believing. I say to you, don't be afraid. Keep believing. The world is full of fear. Keep believing. Just keep believing. Just stay in the word of God. Hold on to your faith. Keep believing and keep confessing the word of God. But Jesus looked at him and said, be not afraid, keep believing, or believe. Only believe. Only think on what you said before. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm with you now. And so then he went in. And what Jesus did at that point, the Bible shows that Jesus did it. Am I right? See, with the woman with the issue of blood, she touched his garment. But here, Jesus went with him, amen, and when he went in and manifest the power of God. Amen. Overrode natural law. Now, I'm going to pick up here next time, but I'm going to show other areas where you see Jesus' response. You see his response. You see his response to who he's approached by, and then you'll see what he did or did not do. See, that reveals to us how we're able to function even while Jesus was alive. Even before he died and it was raised from the dead, he's showing faith, the value of faith. This is why people want to, well, hey, faith. Yes, it's faith in God. This is it. Your salvation is faith in God. You didn't get saved. You didn't get saved because you have faith. You got saved because you have faith in God. The devil's so slick. He don't want you to think that it's just faith. No, it's faith in God. You have to believe in God. What he said. You believe in God? You ever had anybody ask, I don't hear people say it no more. Do you believe in God? Who do you believe God is? That's the foundation of it. Well, how do I know you believe in God? Because you know that Jesus is his son. These are the facts, the basic biblical facts from the Bible. Amen. And Jesus pointed this out. He said, okay, let's get this straight. Jesus said, you got to acknowledge God, my Father. Amen. So in any case, then our conduct, how we function with our faith, with the word of God. Amen. What we believe God for, the desires of our heart. Amen. So I trust you've been blessed and encouraged because, amen, we wanted to unpack. And that's why really what we're doing as a teacher is to show the scripture and unpack it. We'll take it apart and put it back together. You know where everything goes at. And you're able to evaluate each component on its own merit. Say that again, Pastor. In these stories that God has revealed, you can evaluate each component on its own merit when you unpack it. Any of you ever had kids that do that? You get them a toy or something, they take everything apart. You know, people have kids that do this. They're going to take it apart. You get them and say, what are you doing? I'm just taking the wheel off. It won't ride with the wheel off. I know it, Mom. I just want to know how the wheel, how it works. They unpack everything. Are you with me? Then you have others, they tear up everything. I want to see, can it handle this if you hit it with a hammer? Yeah, really, people have a different drive. But here, we're talking about the unpacking. And so those of you in your thought life, what we're doing, we're unpacking it for you. Some people don't need a bunch of unpacking. They say, I don't need you unpacking for me. I just believe, amen. But in any case, the others, we're unpacking it for them. And we're showing it, but it's on merit. God put it together. He put you together. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Let church say amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org.